The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in to the Husker 24/7 Hoops Cast, the only podcast, well, with that name, and that covers an undefeated D1 basketball team in the state of Nebraska. Look at that. Look at that, BC. The last undefeated team in the 402 and the 305 is the Nebraska Cornhuskers, as everyone expected. 7-0. This week, they will not be joined by an undefeated Creighton team that lost on Thanksgiving Day. They will not be joined by a, I don't even know how many wins UNO has at this point in time. But Nebraska, the king of basketball, at least right now in the month of November. And no one can take that away from them, Brian. They have no more games listed. They have nothing left to prove in November.
Yeah, that's true. Some guy in a blue sweater vest, though, right now is yelling like, look at the strength of schedule. It's like 315 or something, you know, so you're going to get that. But
I tell that blue sweater vest to look at the title of the podcast and realize that it's not for him. You know?
Fair enough. He's probably not hearing any of our jabs at him right now. So
yeah, well, you know, that's fine. We'll have more jabs later in the show. But before we get to Nebraska Creighton, I want to get into a pair of interesting games Nebraska played on their march to a 7-0 undefeated November. And that was the Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving against Duquesne. And then they played Cal State Fullerton on Sunday. Nebraska won both of them. Nebraska scored in the 80s in both games. Nebraska won by double digits in both games. And that has been a theme for Nebraska this year. They've won by double digits in every game they played. They've scored in the 80s. In six of their seven contests this year. Brian, these are numbers we are not used to seeing from Nebraska basketball, and I don't care that they are playing a light schedule or, you know, a perceived to be light schedule. They are doing what is expected, which is just dominating teams, and we're not really used to that around here.
Yeah, and Duquesne was pretty good, I thought, yeah. Just eye test wise. Like, that seems like a team that could pop up in March or you're watching in a conference final and has a chance to get to the dance. They definitely have that sort of material. So the fact that Nebraska was down in that game at halftime, faced some adversity and was able to, punch back and really have some offensive efficiency, which in some previous games had lacked a little bit. And they had it at the right moment. And then the free throws, my goodness, 28 of 31 followed up with 19 of 20 is like nothing I've ever seen from Husker hoops, you know? So they've got big.
Is it more impressive they're getting to the line or that they're making, like, obviously the makes are what matters, but yeah, we're also not used to seeing a Nebraska team shooting 20 plus free throws every night either.
Yeah. Both are impressive to me. And also the fact that, you know, obviously to get to that total, part of the reason you stack those up is you hit some one-on-ones along the way, which in the past, those were just crushers. You could go through certain games like a season or two ago and you'd find Nebraska like left 5 or 6 points at the line. Yeah, because you just missed the front end. So they've been really clutch in that regard. It's kind of nice, like when a guy like Rink Mass goes up there, a big guy, and you expect him to make it, you know. And there's a couple guys who probably still have to iron some things out at the line. But yeah, they're getting to the line well. And the Duquesne win was impressive to me. That was the game. You covered it for us. I was at a family function that night, but I was watching it. And I just appreciated that that was a game that I really feel like Nebraska would have lost 2 years ago for sure. Last year, it would have been right on the edge. And the fact that they won it by 10, it got a little dicey there at the end. Duquesne made one last run. But that to me was a nice W and showed that this team could be a little different than some past teams.
Yeah, the best part of that game is that, you know, Nebraska was trailing early on. Like, they had to fight to stay in the game. They, you know, and it felt like every time they answered, Duquesne would come back with their own answer. Like, they were just trading baskets back and forth for a while towards the end of the first half and the start of the second half. And then they found something with Jaron Coleman, or Boogie Coleman, and he was able to kind of pinpoint a kind of version of a two-man game where he would get to a certain spot and it would cause their defense some issues and they wouldn't be able to match up, and Nebraska passes the ball really well this year. I mean, there's a lot to get into about why this team is playing the way that they are playing. But one of the things that is notable to me, in addition to the free throws, in addition to the fact that it feels like they're a bigger, stronger version of Nebraska basketball that we've seen, they pass the ball really well. Not, you know, there's still some bad passes. There's still some turnovers in there. There's still some what the heck moments. But they do a nice job of swinging the ball around. They found something in the fact that they have guys on their roster that maybe aren't the best overall players. But if they hide them, they put them in the corner on offense and then can swing them the ball. And all of a sudden, C.J. Wilcher and Rashawn Gary and Jamarcus Lawrence and all of these guys can hit shots from the corner. And that's your highest percentage three-point play. And so if you're putting those guys in position to be successful, if Jaron Coleman can get into a spot where he can then change someone's defense a little bit and gives you an edge in the corner, that's how he found Juwan Gary. And then Juwan Gary kind of went off in the second half. He had 13 points over a four-minute stretch where he kind of just handled what Nebraska needed to stay out in front against that Duquesne team. I mean, and so the great thing, again, you're getting performances down the roster. You know, the guys that were your best players for you against Duquesne didn't have to be the best players for you against Cal State Fullerton, and you're going to have someone else will probably step up with Creighton and Minnesota and Michigan State all on tap. And so it's the nice thing is, for as good as Casey is, it's not like one of these teams where Casey has to score 20 and then they fill in around it. They have enough guys that they can get points a variety of ways, that they can get bench contributions, that they can, you know, get to the free throw line, that it doesn't have to be the Casey Tominaga show. That was a big question I had coming into the year, and it's nice this many games into it that they haven't had to do that. Now, will that change in conference play? We'll see. But I do think that's one reason to feel confident about this Nebraska team moving forward, is that they can do it in a variety of ways.
I think we've kind of hit on this before, but something you got to credit Casey with is there's all this like hype about him returning. And with that, you could be in that sort of frame of mind where you want to force it up a bunch and, you know, just show like, yep, here's the show. This is the show everybody signed up for. And he doesn't do that. He's very much within the offense. And like on Sunday, he shot five times.
We made all five of them too.
Yeah, he hit all five. Had a nice game. I mean, it was just like, but he passes it well, and he feeds other guys, and I really respect that about him. And it probably helped him in like rank that they played on like national teams and stuff like that, where you're surrounded by really good players and you're sort of used to that. But that's something that I can really appreciate about his game. And just back to Duquesne real quick. I didn't realize this until like a day or two later, because I was with family, as I said, and I look at the stat sheet, two turnovers.
Yeah.
And then not one in the last 37 minutes. Like, that's incredible. So, I mean, they had to play really sharp.
That was against a ball pressure defense.
Yeah. Clean ball. And that's a good sign. I know Boogie Coleman came up off the bench and was really sound in that. That's the way it's going to have to be. You're going to have nights where like Boogie comes in and he's sort of the cool hand. And then there's other times where I think Jamarcus is starting to figure it out a little bit at point guard. You're starting to see less turnovers, and he's playing with really good pace. And on Sunday, Hoiberg said, actually, I wish guys would have run with Jamarcus a little bit better sometimes with the pace he had at the point spot. So that's encouraging as well. I think what you wanted to see out of Jamarcus Lawrence in these first seven games before we get to this next stage in this season, which it very much is what we've seen. It's just that that growth and like more of a calmness about playing the position. And so I do understand why early on it was tough for a guy who was a scorer, a shooter, and you're trying to figure out your role and recalibrate it. And I think he's done a pretty good job in this first quarter of the season.
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. His last three games, he's got 12 assists and no turnovers. He had six assists on Saturday. It's someone that you can see, or I could see on Saturday, the comfort level of where he was at versus the first couple games where you could see he's kind of figuring out what his role is in the offense as sort of the facilitator. And I think just kind of like Keisei Tominaga going 5 for 5, and probably at this point all the rust is gone from the ankle injury, and it looks like he's playing, or he's sort of sliding into the version that you would expect. Jamarcus Lawrence feels like he's getting there too. And then you're doing that in addition to having already received pretty good games from Juwan Carey and Rink Mast and Josiah Alec. And you can just, and Bryce Williams, who we never talk about because he just quietly does the same thing pretty much every night to varying degrees. But he's such a, you know, Brian, he's such a safe player. They have just a really nice nucleus, and to see Jamarcus Lawrence come along like this, if he's able to play this way in conference season, I think it changes how you could feel about that team, because all of a sudden you've got five guys capable of shooting threes. You have someone who can facilitate and get you in and out of your offense. You have a good passing team, and you have guys that are going to go battle up for rebounds. I mean, they're going to make themselves competitive in more games than not with just that formula. And I think looking at Jamarcus Lawrence, if he and Tominaga start playing their best basketball, you know, right here in December, Nebraska has a chance to win some games that people would otherwise assume they're going to lose, because those are difference-making guys. And you throw in a good front court around them, that's a pretty good team. Like I think between the two of us, it's been a struggle to just outwardly say we think this team is good, but there's nothing they've shown us so far where you could say otherwise. Like they played like a good team. They've handled bad teams. They've gotten better. They've had different guys do it every night. Like I think as hard as it is to do with Nebraska basketball, I think we can say that this is a good team. It's the best version of Fred Hoiberg that we've seen with his team so far here in Nebraska.
Yeah. Fred Hoiberg knows it's a good team too. You could tell, you know, on Sunday they win by 13. I wouldn't say he was too satisfied in the post game. You know, they beat Cal State Fullerton 85-72. The thing that he didn't like, and this is something we can get into this in the next part, but they gave up 15 offensive boards, you know, so there's a thought.
They did that in 15 too. They struggled on the offensive, or I guess defensive rebounding.
So both Rink Mast and Hoiberg really emphasize, like, that isn't going to fly. Like, they know the price of poker goes up here in the next couple of weeks and then the rest of the season. So you've got to get that edge back on the defensive end of the floor, which is how they beat Creighton a year ago. We'll get all into that. But Hoiberg was definitely I just thought he was like, yeah, you know, a win. It's good to be 7-0, but, you know, they're not jumping up and down about it. And sometimes it's easy to forget. It has been a rough go these first few years of the Hoiberg era record wise here in Nebraska. I mean, they could go 38-0, and I don't know if he'd be at 500. You know, that's like how tough it had.
I think they should try to see what that looks like, though.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Just try that one on for one.
Let's do the math. Let's play it out at least.
Let's see what a 38-0 feels like around here.
Yeah, see what that does on the Wikipedia page. Which, by the way, I always use Wikipedia for coaches' records. People can badmouth Wikipedia as they may, but it's my go-to for, like, what's this head coach's record and what did he do this year? I don't know. But
it's also my go-to when I'm in a mock, you know, Mark Stoops record, and I can just go Kentucky year by year, and then I can pull that up and then find the SEC standings, and then I can look at who they're beating each year with all of their wins against Vanderbilt that they stack up, and, you know, those types of things. So I utilize it same way as you do. It is the quickest avenue for that information. Also, College Sports Reference the version of Baseball Reference for college sports. I use that a lot for statistics because I absolutely hate going to the college sites. They all have the same service provider or site creator, and it is just a nightmare to get in and out of those sites in under 5 minutes. It takes forever for things to load. I hate it. Do better, colleges. Be like the sports reference sites. Just give me the data, throw it on a spreadsheet. That's all I need.
So is you and a bunch of guys in cowboy boots looking up Stoops' record on Saturday afternoon?
It was me. I was just sending him an email. It was just concerned person from Nebraska to the Texas A&M fan base.
You weighed in on the Twitter poll that A&M ran to see who their next head coach should be, and you said it should not be Mark Stoops. Anyway, I guess we're getting away from basketball, but
yeah, we gotta get back.
We can get back. I was saying that with Hoiberg, as rough as it's been early on record wise at Nebraska, it's a guy who's been to the Sweet 16 and he's had really good teams before at Iowa State. He knows sort of what it feels like. And I just get the sense he believes this is a team that, you know, if they put in the work, they have a shot to do something pretty special. But they got to do it week by week, and they're going to have a very good week this week of preparation, getting some guys sort of healed up, and they're going to have to be really good on the defensive end on Sunday, and we can get into that when you want to.
Yeah, well, let's just take a break right now. We'll come back and we'll dive into this Nebraska-Creighton game and everything that surrounds it, matchups, thoughts, all that stuff, and more here on the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Nebraska-Creighton on Sunday. Nebraska won last year. Creighton is, 5-1, 6-1. They play Thursday night. So they'll have a tune-up game before they play Nebraska on Sunday.
The Huskers have the
entire week. Yeah, it's not a gimme by any means. So they have a tune-up matchup. Nebraska is a week off. Let's dive into this. So for me, Brian, last year that game was won for one specific reason. Ryan Kalkbrenner could not stop Derek Walker.
Yeah.
Derek Walker just destroyed Kalkbrenner. Now, came out that he had mono. I think he missed like 8 games after that, yada, yada, yada. Derek Walker kicked his ass. And if Nebraska is going to be successful again against Creighton, I think Rink Mast and Josiah Alec and their ability to pull Kalkbrenner from the rim and open up passing lanes is going to be a central part of all of it. Because Creighton's defense funnels everything to Kalkbrenner. If Kalkbrenner has to chase some guys, if they're not playing in a zone, if, you know, all sorts of reasons, you know, if he's get pulled away from the rim because of what Rink Mast can do shooting threes, or, you know, the occasional Josiah Alec three, that's a big, big plus for Nebraska offensively for me.
Yeah, you're right. As I think back to that, it was like the first sequence of the game. It was a Derek Walker special last year, head down going in. He was so efficient around the basket. He did it like 4 or 5 times in the first 10 minutes. And then the other part of that, and this is why Creighton lost on Thanksgiving to Colorado State. I think they shot like 26%. And I looked at the stat sheet and I was like, oh, it was basically the Nebraska game last year where they just could not they couldn't hit it, you know, they couldn't hit the ocean from the beach. It was just rough. So, I mean, Nebraska, I thought, played really good defense. You got to give them credit a season ago. They had guys at that time. I believe Bandamil was still healthy, and you had, you know, Sam Gersell and those guys. They caused problems with their length. So we'll see if the Huskers can do a similar thing this year. You know, with guy, you got your, like a Bryce Williams, who's 6'8". This is where you hope that kind of pays off, and you got, you know, long arms they got to shoot over. But they've got to definitely make some of those shots a little more contested, I think, than they were on Sunday. I felt like the Cal State got a few too many good looks. Cal State had a really good player who scored 30 points. You got to give him his due. But obviously it's a game where you're also going to have Creighton miss some. I mean, they're going to take a lot of shots, and you're going to have to live with sometimes if they just come in and have one of those nights where everybody's on fire, they're that type of team. You got to give them credit with their lineup that is capable of running you out of the gym. So Nebraska's really got to be dialed in on the defensive end. And I think that's what the tone Hoiberg was trying to set right in the post game as they head into this week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not going to, you don't want this to be an Iowa type game where you have to score 100 points to win. So I think they're certainly going to try to slow Creighton down in that regard, but they also have to maintain their own offense. And part of it for Nebraska is they have to turn the other team over or get the long rebound and run out and play with pace, because I don't think they're a great half court team. I don't know that, you know, they're better when they're in transition and all their pieces can run to spots and you can keep defenses, you know, a little less set up. And it's easier for Tominaga to hit sometimes a transition three than it is for him to get a three in the set on the half court. So because of that, they're going to have to take advantage of when there are misses or when they can get those turnovers and run a little bit. And Creighton likes to run. So it's not like this isn't a wildly different game for either of them from how they want to play. So it's going to be who can sort of manage that the best, who can cause the other team to have to go to their second, third, fourth options. I'm fascinated from Nebraska's perspective who defends Trey Alexander. That's one of those things with Nebraska where I don't know that they have a great on-ball guard defender. And so if it's Bryce Williams, and he had the kid up in Sioux Falls, who's the best player Nebraska's played, other than maybe Max Jones was really good. I think it was Max Jones, right?
Yeah.
On Sunday. You know, so they've had some guys go off against them, but they've been able to take care of the other pieces. I'm very fascinated how they defend on Sunday, and how they choose to match up. You know, who gets Trey Alexander, who has Baylor Shireman. I mean, these guys are going to be your primary shooters, so you got to have people on them. And I just don't know how that works out. I don't know who the people are in these situations.
This is also one of those games where it feels like one of your guys who is like 7 through 9 on the bench has to come up and just have a kind of a special game off the bench, you know, whether that's Wilcher or, you know, Sam Hoiberg, who didn't have his best game Sunday defensively, but, like, you know, he's kind of a gamer in these type of moments. Somebody like that who just pops in and gives you like 10 to 12, maybe, mm-hmm. that would be a big deal. And we still haven't seen that K-State game where it's just,
I think he's saving it. It could be Sunday.
If he did, that would be something. Because, I mean, if he can hit, like, you know, 6 or 7 of those bad boys, and you know the celebrations that would bring, he might punch the you know, the padding off the hoop, you know, on the opposite end. So I'm kind of hoping we get to see a little of that.
Do you think they put in extra padding because they know that he likes to go down there and, like, hit that thing? So they just want to make sure that it's as safe as possible, you know, like, just to make sure there's not the quintessential Nebraska moment where star player gets hurt hitting the padding Broke under the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're having a headline back in Japan. Yeah.
If anyone's listening and that works at the PBA, let's make sure there's some extra padding here. Let's be doubly as safe and twice as responsible.
Usually it just goes with it seems like kind of the shoulder bump against it more so, sort of like a wide receiver.
I just don't want a Gus Frerotte situation, you know?
Yeah.
There's nobody – how many – okay, anybody under the age of 25 would understand that reference? There's no way, right? Like, that was a Sunday night football game in 1997, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was back when ESPN Sunday night football, sort of like Saturday night college football, was a really big deal. It felt like,
oh yeah,
you know,
Gus you'd watch prime time leading up to it, and you get all the day's highlights and the spiffy Chris Berman nicknames, and he'd be there with Tom Jackson, and it felt familiar. It was like seeing your friends every Sunday.
I always felt good when the Vikings were the highlight with the one song, and it was reserved for the best game. It was a da 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 da. That one.
Their opening theme music.
Yeah. There was one though, like in it. I'll have to send it to you. I think it was different than the theme, but anyway, when the Vikings like Packers were put to that one, you always felt really good.
Yeah, unless the Vikings lost, then you just felt bad. Which, like we do today. You know? So yeah. Let's move on. Nobody needs to hear about football. So what are the matchups? What's most interesting to you about this Nebraska Creighton game this time around?
I think it's as much as I talked about having to have that edge on the defensive end, that's an obvious, but I think the part I'm most interested in is if Nebraska can work with the efficiency on offense to get to score at the level Creighton can. And I think they're capable of it more so than they've been in the past in this game. Of course, last year, I don't remember what the final score was, but was Creighton in the 40s in that game? It was something like that. It was like, they really shut them down. It was a low scoring game, but it feels to me like this one will be a little different. You know, more of your 78-74 kind of game, something like that. And so, you know, I'm curious, like, how Rink Mast in particular, who I think has been really good and just everything you'd hope for. I mean, he's averaging 14.7 and 10.1 so far, 2.9 assists. Just wrote about him. That's why these numbers are so fresh to me.
No, you just walk around with those numbers.
No, and I hope I got him right. But sometimes I say he's averaging about 14.7 and about 10.1, and which is silly to say. I think those are the exact numbers. But, you know, he was 3 for 3 behind the arc, and I just think it gives the defense something they really got to think about. Like, this guy is a legitimate threat. We love Derek Walker here, but that's the difference. Derek Walker is a great passer, and Rink's going to have to prove he can be as good at that as Derek was. And, of course, Derek Walker, as you mentioned, kind of won this game a year ago with his driving. So all the credit to him. But for this particular episode, Rink Mast and his ability to shoot it from deep is something CU's really got to consider. And if they do come out on him in the spread offense, five guys all over the place that Hoiberg runs, there's going to be openings for guys to get going to the bucket and him to find some guys for easier scores. So you're hoping that kind of materializes as the game goes on.
Yeah, I am. Obviously, Rink Mast and Josiah Alec are going to be really interesting to watch. I have my eye on what Juwan Gary can bring to this game because of his ability to go up, get rebounds. He can play inside. He can shoot from outside. He can run the court. There are times where you could make the case that Nebraska's best player could be Juwan Gary. Now, on Sunday, we saw he was kind of working through something with his shot. It almost seemed, Brian, like he had the yips there for a minute where he just could not get the feel. You know, I think he had 3 air balls. He hit the side of the backboard at one point in time. And we know he'd worked on his shot over the summer. And that shot that he had debuted this season has really kind of been big for Nebraska. So hopefully he can find that stroke again throughout the week, because he's going to be another important piece to this coming off the bench, or if they end up having him start, however they choose to go with it. But that rotation, when you get him along with Rink Mast, and then you're also playing with Tominaga and Lawrence and Bryce Williams, that's a really interesting grouping. You're long there with Bryce Williams and Gary. You're athletic there with all 5 of them. You have 5 guys that can shoot from the perimeter. You have 5 guys that can run. So you have to defend the entire court. That's the lineup that I think Nebraska has to be fairly successful with on Sunday if they're going to win this game. Like those 5 guys probably have to be plus for you when you're talking about the plus minus.
Yeah, and they've you know, you talk about Juwan Gary. He's always been good on the offensive glass, Hoiberg will say. He's been improving getting his body on guys on the defensive end. But that this is going to have to be one of those games, going back to the boards they allowed and the second chances the last couple games. They're going to have to shut that down more, because this is one of those where if you give up that many boards to Creighton, you know, it gets kicked out. A guy hits a three on the second or third shot on the possession, and you pay for it. So you're just not going to get away with it. So they've got to be really good on the glass and sort of come out with the attitude like, this category belongs to us.
Yeah, and then we mentioned it earlier, Nebraska's been doing a lot. We know that Creighton does not foul a lot. They don't get called for a lot of fouls. Nebraska doesn't really get called for a lot of fouls. So if either team is spending a lot of time at the line, that's a departure from what we've seen most of the season so far. But that's been a big part of Nebraska game. So they're going to have to figure out how to get back to the free throw line. I asked Hoiberg about it after the Duquesne game, because of 31 attempts, and I think that was at that time the fourth or fifth time they've gone over 20 for the season. And he kind of just made it sound like it's not anything that they're necessarily changed or done different with the offense. It's the personnel. He thinks those guys are aggressive. They're able to draw the contact. He thinks, you know, he basically just said Casey has a way about him of picking up fouls on players, things of that nature. So if Nebraska or Creighton can get to the free throw line a lot on Sunday, I think that could dictate the game as well. I mean, how this gets officiated is always anyone's guess. With you know, college basketball officiating, and I'm sure we're going to see some familiar faces being the three down on the court. But I think, Brian, that's going to determine a lot, just given how both of these teams sort of play and what their reputations are defensively.
Yeah, and then there's the other part that's sort of just the mental side of a game like this, where you've got veteran players on Nebraska's roster, but also guys who are new to this particular game. And it's going to be really interesting to them when they walk on the floor and they see this is different than it's going to be a full house and it's going to be jumping and there's just going to be a buzz in the air. And obviously, whatever people want to say about Creighton, I mean, that just almost on the, they were on the doorstep of the Final Four last year. They got a lot of pieces back. They've been in big games. And so it'll be kind of, a curious thing to me to see how Nebraska responds if there's that piece of adversity where, let's say, CU goes on a 11-2 run. Like, do you have it in you to go to the huddle and you've got those veteran guys who say, it's fine, let's collect ourselves, and you go right back at them and counterpunch? Because we haven't seen to that degree that type of game yet. And this game, I mean, ideally you avoid that, but let's be real, there's probably going to be one run sort of like that by Creighton, and you got to have your own that answers it. So that'll be something to definitely watch.
Yeah. The emotions of that game are always kind of fascinating, how the crowd reacts and can play a part in it. I believe you were there in December of 2018 when Nebraska last won this game at home. That crowd was like, what I have to assume it seemed to be for the Gladiators in the Roman times. I mean, there was definitely some bloodlust in that crowd that day. They were loud, they were angry, and they were very, very appreciative of watching Nebraska blow Creighton off the court. And so that could potentially be a part of it too. This series is always fascinating to me because of, you know, the way that it's kind of just evolved. And it feels like you usually get some interesting environments to play in. And I anticipate it to be a relatively close game on Sunday. If Nebraska were to win, it'd be a shock to me if it's by double digits, even though they did it last year. And the same thing with Creighton. Like, I don't look for either team to just go away. And I think there's going to be a few haymakers that get thrown on Sunday.
Last year was a strange deal because Nebraska breaks through and wins. You know, but it was like unexpected, and I was there and there weren't a lot of Husk people in red there. I mean, people were kind of, and that's because like going in, Nebraska is kind of stumbling a bit. Creighton looked really good. And I think people are kind of laying low, you know, like, yeah, it's not going to go well. And then it just, Nebraska gets off to a good start. I kept feeding it, you know, and it's, they never really relinquished a lead, and maybe they did at one point, but it didn't seem like it. And so that was a strange win because it was such a nice moment for Husker basketball, but there wasn't like a ton of Husker fans, at least basketball fans, Husker football. There were a lot of Husker football fans in the crowd, but there to really enjoy it. So this would be different in that respect if Nebraska could get it done with everybody. Yeah, obviously there'll be some blue there, but it's going to be a great crowd. I'm pretty fired up about this game.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a good one. Do you want to give a prediction on it?
Not really.
you don't have to.
I mean,
we're still 5 days away from it.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I sort of would probably give the edge to CU slightly. It'll be interesting what the odds have it. But I think Nebraska is going to go toe to toe with them. I really do. So I think this is a game that's like decided by 5 or 6 points or less. And if it's beyond that, I'll be kind of disappointed unless we see a show from the Huskers that says, oh, that really gets everybody like, okay, buckle up. This is going to be wild. I just hope people go into it understanding this is a good chance to see sort of where Nebraska is. It is an important game because you do need to notch these things on your resume that help later. But this is the beginning of a 4-game sequence in my mind where you play Creighton, then you play at Minnesota Wednesday, Michigan State at home, and then at Kansas State. And the way it sets up in my mind, Schaefer, is if they can win one of the two between Creighton and Kansas State somehow to get that on the resume, and then they could at least be 1-1, you know, in the Big Ten, I think you're feeling really good if that happens. And I'm not saying – hey, go for more by all means. But if they get to that, I think they're setting themselves up to get people pretty excited.
I think we're going to see a game on Sunday where, you know, whoever ends up losing, it's not going to be one of those where you could talk yourself into the fact that they could have also won the game. You know, I think both teams are going to come out of Sunday's game looking pretty good, regardless of what the result is. And that should probably inspire some confidence because that will be a tournament team in Creighton. And if Nebraska can go toe-to-toe with them, then you suspect they're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with their conference. And if they're able to do that, stack up enough wins, you can see kind of where things will fall at the end of the year. And so I anticipate it, like you, to be relatively close, you know, and we'll see if they're able to pull it out. And to me, the critical things are going to be if they can get to the free throw line and what sort of version of Nebraska comes out shooting, because they, you know, if they shoot like they did against Ryder, they're going to lose that game and they might lose that game by 15. But if they play like they did at other points this year, if they get the version of them that went into, you know, the Sanford Pentagon and just raced Oregon State out of the gym. And obviously Creighton's better than Oregon State, but if you get that version, even if it's just for 8 minutes of playing time, I mean, Nebraska could score in flurries, and that could really dictate some things for them as well. I'm just fired up for it. It's fun to have this game kind of matter. You know, part of why last year felt like sort of out of nowhere is you didn't really think Nebraska's season was going to matter basketball wise. And right now they're 7-0, and you know, the expectation is that if they can get by Creighton and win a couple more games here in December, you could be talking about a team that's right there on the fringe of the bubble, even with as soft of a non-conference as they've played.
Yep. You'll have some people also tuning in for the first time to check them out, yep. You know, your more casual crowd. So that'll be a good chance for them to, you know, really make a statement to the people in this area. Like, okay, this is a team I gotta keep an eye on. So we will cover it toe to toe.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will be back with more Husker 24/7 Hoops casts moving forward as well. So you can anticipate that. Be sure to check out everything we got going on at Husker247.com. Plenty of coverage of basketball, plenty of wrap-up coverage of the 2023 Nebraska football season. Of course, you have the recruiting cycle front and center right now. The transfer portal, Brian, is going to be hot and heavy, and people can find all of that information and more at Husker247.com. If you get there on Tuesday, we have a 75% off deal going right now, the best deal that we offer every single year. That will get you a year's worth of coverage, will carry you through the recruiting period, the spring off season, Nebraska basketball's run, all of that and more, setting you up for the 2024 season. So if you've wanted to try Husker 24/7. This is the best deal that we can offer for you. And oh, by the way, you get Paramount Plus when your subscription promo runs out as well, which means then you can watch future Nebraska games on CBS when that is coming here in the near future. So as well as, you know, all the other offerings of Paramount Plus. Anything you want to add, Brian, before we depart?
No, I don't think so. I said toe-to-toe. I meant head-to-toe. So I'd like to correct my stupidity. But that's about it. I'm ready to roll with Hoops. You and I have been fired up about this team before the season even started, like with intrigue at least. And I think it's slowly built. And yeah. So hopefully next week we're just like bouncing off walls around here. Like we can't even hear us in the microphone because we're just moving around so much with excitement about what's happening.
I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. More than anything, I just want to be like, yeah, they are good. That's all I want to be able to say. I just want to confirm, and that's what Sunday can be, is a confirmation that Nebraska is good. They don't have to win to be able to confirm that, but it would sure be nice if they're able to come through against the Creighton Blue Jays. All right, well, we'll have all of that coverage on Sunday and all of the coverage of everything else Huskers leading up for it on Husker 24/7. For Brian Christopherson, I'm Mike Shaver. We're Husker 24/7. We'll catch you next time.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.